Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. I am your host, Jordan Rabel, and as usual, no co-host, no guest, just me, baby. Nobody else is here. Just me and your motherfucking earbuds. Nobody else is here. You know what I was thinking about? I don't know if you guys knew this, but I don't know the year that we changed it, but at one point in time, early on in America's founding, whoever was voted president, like whoever won the presidency was president, and whoever got second was vice president. How fucking funny would it be if Trump won the presidency and Hillary was his vice president and they were forced to interact every single day? Why did we change that? I mean, I get why we changed it, because what a prison that would be. But how hilarious would it be if Hillary had to take shit from Trump every day? She was forced to go into work and had to know that Trump was her boss. You know what? Why did we change that? I think that law, it's kind of a good idea. It's kind of a good idea. Maybe it provides a little more balance in the, you know, in the White House, if you've got a president from one party and the VPs from the other party, and you're having to deal with them kind of sort of hating each other, kind of good. And maybe then it would dissuade people from running. And you can't just not be vice president. You have to go do the vice presidency. Because then it makes you be, if you're in second, you're in prison. God, that would be so funny. So fucking funny to make you interact more with your mortal enemy. You know, Hillary, I just think you need to shut the fuck up. Maybe the White House would be better too. Maybe it would be better. Because then, you know, maybe Hillary could help keep Trump in line. I don't know. Probably not. That's not going to happen. I don't even want to talk about Trump. I was just thinking about how funny and how great of a White House that would be to have two. It would be a sitcom. That's a sitcom. Trump and Hillary, that's a sitcom. Every day. So funny. So freaking funny. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's like, dude, it's interesting to, it's funny when you interact, just interacting with, you know, people at different levels of comedy. One of my least favorite things in comedy is getting stuck in a conversation with someone who has done comedy for like 1 or 2 years and just listening to their unqualified new opinions on how comedy works and everything. You're like, dude, stop. Like when they say, well, certain comics are hilarious, you're like, that guy is bad. But I guess compared to you, yeah, he's fine. He's good. But you're really bad. So I don't know. Like this one dude, he's not even that new, but he said the crazy, there's this guy, whatever. His name is Niles Turner, and maybe some people know him. He's quit comedy by now, and absolute lunatic. This guy became a complete human troll whenever he was at comedy stuff. And he would slowly, he like ran this open mic at Halliard's in Brooklyn, and he would just get hammered every time at the open mic as it went on. He would just keep pounding beers as the open mic went on. And he started leaning into this like trolly pro Trump character who called everybody pussies. Kind of delightful. At least it changed up the scene a little bit, you know, because everyone was pretty much on the left who's in comedy, especially in New York and especially in Brooklyn. Especially in Brooklyn. Fun fact about Brooklyn, someone told me. Apparently, Trump won Williamsburg because of all the Hasidic Jews voted for him. So funny. So funny. There's no way that Trump was more pro-Jewish than Hillary, but she's a woman, so they were like, all those Hasids were like, first off, they probably don't even let the women vote in the Hasidic culture. And then second, there's no way all those male Hasids, they probably said, we got to vote for the man because we can't have a woman in charge of us. But yeah, so we're talking, he's, Niles lost his marbles a little bit. And I think he did comedy for long enough and saw that the, writing it was on the wall, that perhaps it was going to be a longer road than he expected. And it wasn't getting the love he deserved. I'm trying to not be mean here. Okay. But so Niles had created this character, this, like, it wasn't a persona is what I would call it, who was just really, right wing, would be really pro Trump and would like be actively contentious with people and call them pussies and say, yo, you're not funny, you stink, that kind of thing. It was really, dude, it made me laugh because, you know, there's just not that many people that are doing stuff like that anymore. Everyone else is kind of really friendly and say your opinion. Everyone's opinion is always progressive and it's mostly the right opinion. And this guy was saying that so Niles ended up, like, I think he got a little pushed out from this open mic, which was his last little toe into the water. And then I think that was the thing that got him to jump ship. But I guess some people, it's just an interesting debate or point of discussion. But someone once, I guess someone went and complained to the bar about Niles at the open mic because they said they disagreed with his beliefs and politics or whatever his character was. By the way, all the things Niles did, they were super tongue in cheek. None of them were really sincere. I mean, I believe that, you know, I believe his politics are what he very openly said they were, but none of them were. When he would call you a pussy, it was kind of a joke. He wouldn't do it. It never felt mean. It always just felt funny. It's funny to call someone a pussy. Especially now. People don't do that as often as they used to. But somebody went and complained. This is what's interesting to me. Is now, I think we live in a culture now where not enough people are confrontational with other people when they have problems. They always want to appeal to an authority figure who then handles a problem. Instead of just going directly to their neighbor, the person next to them, their coworker, their friend, whoever, instead of going directly to their coworker, they want to appeal to some judge and have the judge put out who's right and wrong. And, but the thing is that, like, you could resolve things so much better if you went to the person you had the problem with. But you know, people don't want that confrontation. They want to, like, write a note. They want to leave an anonymous comment. They want to put a review on Yelp, or something like that. Instead of just going and being like, hey, what you did hurt my feelings. So this, Niles is doing whatever it is that Niles does, which is kind of just saying, like, yo, Trump's a fucking man. You're all pussies. None of you shoot guns. And, I mean, Niles isn't wrong, but at least in that neighborhood. But there are a lot of pussies in that neighborhood. But so Niles, anyway, so this person, I don't know who, went and complained to the bar about Niles. And then he got, like, I guess he got pushed out from his open mic and had to give it to someone else, which, I mean, what a sad, sad moment in one's life when you get pushed out of an open mic. I mean, talk about who gives a fuck stakes. Jesus Christ. Kicked out of an open mic. An open mic. It frustrates me. Just because of the philosophically, I don't really care that strongly about Niles. I don't care about, you know, whoever complained about him. But I don't, if you didn't like what Niles did, why didn't you go talk to him? And I was talking to this other comedian and he was like, well, he's not going to change. Well, he's certainly not going to change now. The dude moved out into the woods and now he's just building bombs, you know? Instead of someone going to him and treating him like an equal or a human. That's what we kind of do now is when people, you know, we have a problem with people, we don't really confront them with empathy. We either confront them in the way that someone now will just be super accusatory and finger pointy and be like, I'm morally righteous. You're disgusting. But that's not how you get people to change. You get people to change by asking them how they think so you can understand it. So you could try to slowly walk them into, you know, believing what you believe. And this guy was saying, no, it was a good thing because now he's gone. And it's like, just because someone's different someone's politics aren't your politics doesn't mean they're evil. It doesn't mean they're evil. They could be misguided. They probably have poor judgment. But they're not evil. And that's the problem, is that when you see the other side is evil, you're not going to be able to get them to change because you think they're less than you. And quite often, they're probably well-meaning. And you can't even, you need to understand, if you want to change people's minds, you need to understand their motivation so you can use that, you know, against them to get them to shift their opinion. But if you don't if you never take the time or the effort, or you just see the other side as evil, you're putting them as lesser. And that's kind of what, that's kind of like what this guy was doing to Niles. He was seeing him as lesser, evil. Just because he doesn't vote the way you vote doesn't make him evil, man. Yeah, I don't, that's how a lot of people, that's what people got to get, is that not agreeing doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't. And if you see the other side as a bad person, well, you're actually kind of being a bad person. Because if you were really being a good person, you would try to understand them and treat them with empathy. I really just think that's the only way to get people to shift how they think, is to approach them as an equal or a person, a fellow person, and not some lesser being or some stupid idiot. You're going to change your mind if you think they're an idiot. And ultimately, it's just like, if you have a problem with someone, go tell them that you don't like, you have a problem with them. And don't make it in a mean way. You know, be calm. Like, don't yell at them or use any language. The second you call someone a name, I always think that's when you pretty much lose the argument. It's just so fascinating now, that's how people are thinking. And also with like, and also the thing that that dude was forgetting is that like Niles was doing this at an open mic. O-P-E-N. Open mic comedy. And it's just comedy in general. I firmly believe no topic is off limits. You can say and do whatever you want so long as it's executed well. Now you can try those, you have to try those things and fail miserably in order to get it to eventually go well. That's how it goes. But we really, it's crazy to me that it's comedians policing comedians. You can certainly, I think, and that's, you should be like, I don't think that's going to work on stage. And also be like, you really believe that? That's not bad to do to your fellow comedians, but to be like, no, he deserves to not be here. It's like, dude, that is what this is for, and that is why we're all doing this. We're trying to, you know, express our thoughts and get them to ultimately be funny. But yeah, I just don't, that, like, it's weird to me that not every comedian is just pro freedom of speech all the time. Also weird to me that so many people who are pro freedom of speech choose the words that they choose. You're like, you're really, like, you know, calling someone a faggot means that much to you? You know, that's what you're fighting so hard for? Now, I think there is a context in which using the word is appropriate, and I think the way I just used it is appropriate because I'm talking about it in not an accusatory way. I'm just talking about in like an abstract terms, but God, I think you should be able to use everything, but it's just crazy to me that those people also are so passionate and that they constantly need to use, you know, slurs. But yeah, you should be able to. I got in like a debate with my roommate, and he was saying that like he doesn't even think the KKK should exist. And that's what makes like the free speech debate so difficult, is that you end up defending, like, your squad is like the worst group of people. You're defending complete trash. I'm like, you're defending people who are just kind of not, I mean, they're just bad. The words are escaping me right now, but they're just not, you're defending pretty much like unsavory people, but that's why free speech is so hard. And also, but then you run into the point, like, okay, so here's what the debate was. I was saying that in the abstract, the KKK should exist so long as, what they do is just abstract hate. You know? That's just in the idea I was defending, he put a very tangible thing on the KKK. I was just saying, like, you know, I think that I'm protecting the idea of free speech, because who am I to decide what is okay speech and what is bad speech? And I put the caveat on it, so long as they're not acting on any of their ideas and inciting violence. Now, okay, I know, KKK, very awful group, which is crazy that today you even need to, like, clarify that you are against the KKK. But, hey guys, just for the record, I, Jordan Rabold, don't like the KKK. All right, good. But he was saying they shouldn't even exist, and it's because, and this is crazy, he goes, I don't distinguish between hate speech and hate crimes. And it's like, how do you not distinguish between those two? It's so clear what one is and what the other is. Like, and I kind of trapped him a little bit, because I was like, well, okay, well, how about this? I think it's very different. If you go to our neighbors right next door, like, I think in theory you should be able to walk outside and yell the N-word. I wouldn't recommend it, and nor do I do it, but I think that should not be illegal for you to do. But it certainly should be illegal for you to go punch one of our neighbors because of the color of their skin. I think so, that right there. And I was like, do you distinguish between those two things? Yes or no? Because those are two very different things. One is verbal and one is a physical altercation. So do you distinguish between those two things? And he was like, yes. I'm like, okay, well, there you go. You think that one should be illegal? It's also funny because he used to do a joke on stage. It was so terrible, where he would say the N-word like 10 times. Here's it. I'm not going to say the word. I don't know. I know I said the F-word a moment ago. It's just, but I was talking about it in, I think, an academic sense, not in a, accusatory, hateful way. So whatever. Not so whatever, but. So I think that's the right context in which to use it. If you feel silly, you really do feel silly, but I'm going to say N-word just for the sake of not being a jerk to everybody. And just in case anyone ever wants to advertise on my podcast. But it's so funny that he would have that opinion when he used to do, when he has in his comedy said what someone could construe as hate speech or hateful speech, or also just like, unsavory comedy that's like kind of on the line of like shocking. But so here was his joke, is he would go on stage and he'd be like, I was listening to these rap songs and he just keeps saying the N-word. And I'm just going to say N-word, but he would say the real N-word. He would say, and these rap songs, just like, they're just like N-word, 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 N-word. It's like, stop saying N-word. Yeah. And then he would say, faggot. And it's crazy to me that he would ever have done that on stage, but then now today advocate against, kind of say that, you know, that you shouldn't be able to have that level of free speech. So yeah, it's like, it's crazy to me that, like, it's comedians who are policing comedians. You used to think, like, you read all those books like 1984, Brave New World, and you're like, it's a government that you need to be afraid of. And like, no, now it's just the social media mob, ostracization from your peers. That's what you need to be more worried about. And you can't even control that, because it's, in a way, it's like, you know, it's their right to be able to tell you suck, I guess. You can't even tell how big Outrage is either. You really can't. Like, you think of that, like, that Nike Outrage stuff. Could have been just fabricated by Nike. Or at least they would have started it just to, like, plant the idea in other people's heads that something was wrong. But it's impossible. Like, how many people really went and burnt their shoes, you know? It could have been that many. It could have been, like, 50, 100? You think that many people went and burnt shoes? Or you think... I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, people always take, every time they go to the gym, they take a picture of themselves at the gym. Every person in the world who burnt their shoes made sure they videoed themselves burning their shoes. So it's impossible now. Because, like, there's just so many, anytime a thing happens, there's like, you know, there's like 50 blog posts about this bad thing that happened. But that's, in a way, in this day and age, that just means 50 people really care about that, and the rest of us are living our lives. So how big is Outrage? You can't tell. But it feels like Outrage is so loud. It feels so loud, but it's not. It's really just a few people. It really is. Really, 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 really is. I don't know. That said, Sven is a great guy, and he's a really fun roommate, you know? Just an absolute lunatic. This guy didn't even know. Just sometimes he just, it's so joyful how just stupid some adults are. Like Sven, he's very smart in some areas. And then these blind spots he has are just glaring. Like for one, this guy can't cook at all. I know, by the way, that the transition on this is weak from, this heavy academic topic of free speech versus hate speech and hate crimes and stuff. And then now it's like, hey, here's a silly thing about my roommate, but hey, whatever. So this guy's like the worst cook I've ever seen in my life. We shop at the same grocery store. So when our food is finished being cooked, why does mine look okay and his look inedible? I saw him eating and I go, oh, nice dude. You eating fish? He goes, nah, it's chicken. Why does your chicken look like fish? He manages to just take all the flavor out of the thing. Like, I've never seen someone ruin eggs like Shvendi. How do you ruin eggs? Eggs! You know, he's ruining scrambled eggs. This dude's scrambling eggs and he's ruining them. But I just enjoy how dumb of an adult he can be in these blind spots. Like, he's trying to get, like, I think he, like, freelance. I don't even know what he does. I know he works in, like, technology doing, like, security data analysis or something. Security analysis or something. Or software defense. I don't know what he does. I just call him an IT guy. But he is trying to get new work. And he was applying for a job. And this guy, like, they wanted him to go get some documents notarized as legal proof that, you know, all the statements therein were not lies. And Sven just signed them all himself and said he was the notary. It's like, do you know how not legal that is? I'm so glad he did that on a job application thing and not on some tax form, so he's dealing with the IRS. Dude, you know how dumb you gotta be to just go notarize your own stuff? And then he was complaining about it. I was like, why do I gotta go get a notary? Because you're a liar. That's why. That's why you need a notary, because you're not gonna tell the truth, bro. He's so delightfully dumb. So delightfully dumb. Dude, just watching so many comics. It's like one of the best ways to learn. If you want to learn how to get good at anything, watch a wide variety of people do the thing. Watch a wide, even stuff you don't like, or even like, you can learn so much by watching bad people do stuff. You really can. Obviously, you can learn from watching great people do stuff. Like, that's one of the, that's why, like, now when I'm at, like, I'm starting to get in at some clubs and getting more club spots. And it's great because you get the opportunity to go watch some, like, great comedians perform. Also, you get to watch some really hacky comedians perform. And that's, like, the best way. Because there's so many, you know what? There's just so many untalented people out there. There really are. There really are. I remember watching, like, and this isn't just applied to comedy, this is in general, but I remember watching, like, American Idol, and a lot of people thought Simon Cowell was an asshole. And the same for, like, you ever watch Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay? People always think that those guys are assholes because of the way that they speak to people. And, you know, perhaps, yeah, their tone isn't great. But, by the way, if all you can criticize about someone is their tone and not their argument or the content of what they're saying, you aren't winning. You're losing. That's, you know, you're, if you ever are like in a fight with your friend and you go, yeah, but I just didn't like the way you said it. What about what they said? That's what matters. It doesn't matter if they raised their voice. It doesn't matter if they emailed you or they wrote it on a note or they texted you. I mean, I know, yeah, sure, you should just go directly to the person, like I said earlier in the podcast, which I'm assuming that's kind of the interaction you're doing, just so I cannot be a total hypocrite all of the time. But, like, if you're criticizing tone, that is impertinent to a debate. Tone is impertinent. I know it matters in that that's like a way you can lose an argument even though you should be winning is through tone, so you need to watch it. But ultimately, fuck tone. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck about tone? Like, so people always thought like Simon Cowell or Gordon Ramsay are jerks, but they're not jerks. They're actually, I was thinking about, they are doing the Lord's work. They are telling people who are bad at a thing, you're bad at a thing, and you have no future in it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? And also, it's just having a person tell you you're bad at a thing and you have no future in it, if that dissuades you from doing the thing, you never had the thing in the first place. You weren't good enough. You weren't. That's it. You never had the talent. You certainly don't have the drive. And you're going to let one person's opinion prevent you from your dream. Thus, you don't deserve it. Okay? But they're doing the Lord's work. Telling people that they're trash is valuable. It's valuable. Because it prevents them from wasting their lives. Otherwise, they could spend, I mean, fuck. That's a good part about comedy is you get the constant feedback loop that you blow from people, or that a joke sucks or whatever. But if you let every time that a thing didn't go the way you wanted prevent you from, you know, doing it further, you never had it. You didn't. But they're doing a good thing. Because if they are, more people need to do that. I just wish, I don't know, is anyone else really doing that for people? Just being like, yeah, you're really bad at this. You're really bad at this. This is not what you should be doing with your life. Because otherwise, I think people go down, they waste their time on things they're not talented at, and they're, and it's only going to lead them to heartbreak and hurt and pain instead of trying a new thing that they might actually have a knack for. I don't know. I don't think Simon Cowell's a dick. I don't. I remember I watched some of those things recently, like some YouTube clips of him, and it's kind of like, you got to understand, this dude has sat through like 10 hours of auditions. It's going to be tough for him to be like enthusiastic about your singing when you're terrible at it. Or even just okay at it. Maybe you're like church choir good. Maybe you're church choir good, but like, dog, it's American Idol. I just turned into Randy Jackson for a second there. Yo, dog, it's American Idol. It is American Idol. You're supposed to be great at singing at that point. If you're trying out for like 16 slots, you can't waste one of those slots on you. What a weird show. What a weird show. And also, why did so many people show up for that audition? Why? Like, I know I'm really bad at singing. I know I'm really bad at singing. Because I actually had a music teacher tell me in grade school during the Christmas pageant that I was not to sing. She said, everyone else in the class sang. Jordan, you do not have a good voice. Please don't sing. Some people might say that that was mean. But now I look back and I go, thank you, Mrs. Barker Fisher, for doing that. Because what if I thought I was a good singer? What if I then tried to become a singer, but I don't have the talent for it? I didn't. So she did only a good thing for me. She did me a service. She probably also didn't like me very much. She probably thought it was a huge distraction and a general problem in her class. But she did me a favor. Because then I never pursued singing. Because it wasn't one of my talents. It wasn't. Eating pussy. That's one of my talents. Jesus Christ. Jesus. But yeah, nobody ever gives you feedback. If you're ever a person who has a lot of one-night stands that don't turn into two, three, four, five-night stands, probably because you're bad in bed. But that's what's so funny about being like kind of bad in bed is no one really tells you. You kind of know. You know, you ever hook up with someone and just like the chemistry is so awful and you're like, ugh. You're like, well, this is the first and last time that we do this. We may as well have jerked off separately. But there, I think, yeah, sometimes like, you know, I've hooked up with some people and been like, never again. And then you act like it was good afterward just because you don't want to, like being, I guess I was a coward and I should have maybe confronted them to be like, hey, that was bad the way that that went. Could we not, we should probably not do that again, or you need to change some things about what you did. And I'm not acting like I'm perfect and that's, you know, it's always on them. I'm no doubt there's some people who are like, what the fuck was that? By some people, I mean women. I don't know. But yeah, Simon Cowell, that dude, they're not that bad. They're not that bad. And they're always right. They're always right. Seriously, someone, has there ever been a person who, from Hell's Kitchen or from, who Simon Cowell or Gordon Ramsay yelled at and they were wrong about when they yelled at them? I don't think there is. I don't think there's a single instance of a person who ran a fantastic kitchen and became a 3-star Michelin-rated chef or had a heavenly singing voice and now is selling out theaters. There isn't a person out there doing that who they overlooked. So, you know, but yeah, telling people they suck is valuable, man. Your jobs never do it. My friend, this is kind of funny, but oh, fuck, he listens to this podcast. Shit. Whatever. I have a friend who has a job, and I'm going to try to tell this story so that he doesn't know I'm talking about him. He's going to know, though. He's totally going to know I'm talking about him. But I have a friend. He has, like, a lot of meetings where they go over his performance at his job. And I think that they're, in his head, he thinks they're simply being conscientious about work and trying to give constant feedback, which yes, they are. But also I have from another friend who works there that he is, that other guy is constantly in a state of almost being fired. But that's just how oblivious some people are, is that they don't even know that it's going poorly. That's why you need Simon Cowell's. So I asked him, I was like, at that job, because he, friend two, the one who knows the other friend who's going to probably get fired soon, friend two, I was like, do you guys tell him that if he doesn't straighten up, he's going to lose this job? And he was like, no, they kind of like try to like do it in like fun, nice language. Like they kind of are, you know, they put it so that it's like not too harsh or mean. I'm like, God, it would be so much better for him if they just went, listen, the work you do right now, not good enough. I don't know how to say this any other way. Not good enough. It's not good enough. You're not getting enough out of you. You're not doing, I'm trying to like not say what the job is because I don't want him to know, but you're not doing 75 widgets. You're only hitting 63. You only need to do 75. If you hit 75, we are happy. If you don't, we're going to fire you. That's what it should be. It should be that. But so much of it is like, you know, how do you feel? What do you think? Are you da 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 da? That's one thing that like you get that I loved about sports is that you would have, I mean, it would hurt when it was you, but ultimately it would be a good thing. There are times when you would be sitting in a locker room and your coach would just point at you and just go, not good enough. That was terrible. What were you thinking? Let's watch a replay of what you did here. You see this? You didn't make this play. You didn't track back. You weren't in this spot. Why weren't you in that spot? What were you thinking? What were you doing? And they would undress you in front of everyone. And it would make you feel like shit in the moment. But then you'd be like, he's right. I need to be in that spot at that time. And it would make you better. God, sports are the best, man. Just a goddamn fucking meritocracy. It really is. The NBA, 75% of the starters in the NBA are the best players in the world. You could debate, there might be some sixth man who's better than another guy who's on a starting lineup or something like that. But by and large, sports are great because the best are at the top of it. Not like so many other things. It's funny because like in all these like art forms, like the best aren't necessarily the most famous or the highest earning. It's so interesting. Just because you're successful doesn't mean you're the best. Like fucking Kathy Lee and Hoda have a full TV show that runs for 4 hours every morning. The Today Show. They suck. They suck. If you've never done it, I implore you to go down a rabbit hole right now. Pause the podcast. Fuck my podcast. Just look up Kathy Lee and go listen to the songs that this woman has written. And also that show. That show is so bad. I mean, that's one of those shows that makes you feel really nihilistic where you're like, nothing matters and we're all just matter floating through this space and there's no point to any of this. That's how those shows, the Today Show, among other shows, makes you feel. But Kathy Lee, it's not all meritocracy. Not everything is. Really. I don't know, man. It's so funny. I use a lot of, I use Reddit a lot. I really enjoy Reddit. One thing that's really fun about Reddit is that it can help you find like small groups. Like you can find some interests. You can find other people. I was grabbing my phone. You can find other people with like similar interests or issues or that you can then relate to and talk to. But my boy Gene Getman sent me a hilarious one. There's one subreddit. It's called Small Dick Problems. And it's so funny that you're just a group for everything, isn't there? That's one of the best parts of the internet is that you can just find other people who are like you and you can relate to them. That's also one of the worst parts of the internet is that it makes you think that your weird behavior is okay because you can find another 50,000 people in the world who have it. Like if you fuck toys, you could find another 10,000 people in the U.S. who also fuck toys. You could find that group. So that's kind of also makes you think that what you're doing isn't that weird. Dude, it's weird. So here's a post my friend sent me today in the subreddit Small Dick Problems, which doesn't that already sound like a fake subreddit? Like there's no way this is real. And I want to know, what do you guys think? Do you think this is a real post, a sincere post, or do you think this is a post that someone just put up as kind of a troll? I can't tell anymore. My troll dar is off, man. Here it is. For cricket, you have to buy an athletic cup to protect your genitalia. There's an adult version for ages 15 plus, ranging from small to triple XL. There's a junior version for ages 12 to 15. There's a youth version for ages 7 to 12. And there's a peewee version for 6 and under. I'm 18 years old and I wear the small youth version. That is the, by the way, that's the 7 to 12 age group. I'm 18 years old and I wear the small youth version. I try to keep it under wraps, order online, and never change in front of my teammates. I have a 10-year-old brother and he plays cricket too. He wears the small adult cup. Kill me now. Basically, we're on the same team, but he's on the youth team and I'm on the adults team. He found out that I wear the small youth cup, and he told everyone, and now I just don't want to go back there anymore because it's embarrassing as all hell. I've been on this team for 2 years now, though, and I really love playing, so I'm not sure what to do. A few of them are friends, and I know they would. Anyway, that's all the part he sent to me. Do you think that's real? The only reason I don't know if it's real is because it was a 10-year-old knowing about, like, that, like, quote, having a big dick is great. Or, it makes you better than somebody else. I mean, I don't believe it does, but it's one of those things that, you know, you pat yourself on the back if you got a huge hog. Do you think that's real? I don't think it is, because I don't know if a 10-year-old would know that. That's weird that a 10-year-old would know that. But, boy, is it hilarious that this 10-year-old was able to find that thing on his older brother and just destroy his older brother. That's so funny to me. God, having a small dick. That's one thing, like in the body acceptance movement, that will never, there will never be a small dick acceptance movement. Never, never, never. Partially because no man wants to be the face of that movement. Any movement needs a face. Who is it? Like, plus size models have Ashley Graham. You need the face. You need the face for the movement. No guy is going to be like, I am the representation for small dick. No dude wants to do that. And also, the other dudes aren't going to get behind it, because if you don't have a small dick, you're like, I don't really fucking care that much about the small dick lobby. I don't really care about accepting them because it's not my problem. Everyone only cares about their problems. I feel bad if you've those types of things, because there's so many things like, yeah, man, there's so much stuff is out of your control. So much of life is out of your control. You're dealt a hand and you just have to play it. Whatever it is, you just have to play your shitty hand. There's nothing you can do about it. Some people get fantastic hands. And yeah. But you just dealt this shitty hand. You can't do anything. Like, that's like same for like if you're balding. Like, I'm really lucky. I have a full head of hair. I feel really lucky. At the age of 30, I'm not thinning at all, as far as I can tell, knock on wood. But I'm not thinning at all. I've got a full head of hair. And then other people are bald, and it sucks when you're bald because it just makes you look older. Bald guys just look like 15 years older. And they also, anytime you have any sort of a poor interaction with anybody, they always be like, oh, at least I'm not fucking bald like you, you loser, you bald fat fuck. That's how everyone interacts with you negatively if you're bald. They go right to the bald insults. You don't have that one on me. And it sucks. That's how I know karma doesn't exist. Because guys just go bald and it has nothing to do with anything they did. It has nothing. I wish it did exist. Wouldn't that be so much better as if you went bald because of something you did? You know, if someone was like a child molester, they went bald, so now you know who the child molesters are. Someone hits his girlfriend, so he goes bald, so you know. Girlfriend cheats on the boyfriend, so she goes bald. But no, you just get dealt that stuff. You just get dealt a small-ass dick and a balding head. Small dick. Some guys, I'm curious. Guys, do you check your friends' penises when you pee at the urinal? I don't. I really don't. I don't care. I don't want to know, because it affects your relationship with them. Your friend's got a huge hog. You're like, fuck. Damn it. He's better than me. Friend's got a small peen. You're just like, yeah, knew it. Knew he had a small penis. So funny. Who cares, you know? It's funny. Girls care, but I feel like guys really care. They really, really care about dick size. It doesn't. It just blows if you know you got a small penis. You just gotta. Ugh. You always have the anxiety that you're gonna show it. Like, you gotta get. Like, before, if you have a small penis, before you show the small penis, you'll like make sure the person loves you first. Oh my God. This is really funny. My girlfriend, I don't know why. I guess for some reason to her, I came off as super wholesome. I don't know. Maybe you guys listen to this podcast. So maybe you know I'm whatever you think of me, but you probably wouldn't be like, this guy's really wholesome. But I think, well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any drugs. I don't party. I read books. So I work out. So maybe I seem super wholesome, I guess. I'm from Kansas. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's how I feel like I'm like Leave It to Beaver to her. But when we were, before we dated, she told her friend, she was like, yeah, I don't know. He's really fun and I like him, but he's had sex with probably like three people. I don't have to teach. I'm 31. I don't have time to teach someone how to have sex. It's so funny. She just assumed I was barely not a verge. So funny. I remember I got that impression from her and I said something to her once where I was like, do you think I've not done this before? Where did you pick that up? What gave you that idea? I don't know. I don't know. Hilarious, though. So hilarious. You also can't, like, if you're a guy, like, you can never act like you're great in bed, because that's so unlikable. And then also, you've set the expectation so high. So that's actually, like, the best case scenario is that she thought I was going to be trash. And then I'm, like, mediocre, so she's like, oh, it's so good. Like, just all about expectations. Manage expectations. That's what it's all about. Last thing, though. I've got a friend. His name's Rich, and he told me this week, he's a roommate, and his roommate's kind of like a guy that Niles Turner would call a pussy. So he's kind of a roommate, and his roommate apparently is always, he writes in his journal like every day, and that's not, you know, I have a journal or joke notebook or whatever, I just write thoughts in it, but so his roommate writes it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I would recommend everybody journals. You should write 3 pages every single day for your thoughts. At least then you get them out in some capacity, in a relatively safe capacity, and it helps you get rid of some of your demons. But anyway, I'm not going to judge the journaling, but this is what's hilarious. This guy, he journals, very private diary, and he leaves it on the kitchen table every single morning. And then Rich wakes up and Rich reads that shit every day. Every day, Rich reads that journal. God, so bad. It's so awful that he reads it. But then also it's like, dude, don't leave your journal. Don't leave your journal out in public every day. If you don't want someone or have an expectation that maybe someone's going to read it, oh my God. So embarrassing too, because it's like he showed me a passage from it. He said like some of the pages are tear soaked. Oh God, so embarrassing. So embarrassing. Because this is like a private vulnerability and it's now been publicized by Rich. Rich, you're such an asshole, man. But also I can't blame you. Don't leave your journal out, your diary out. And Rich was saying that it's like all like really, really emo stuff. Of course it is. It's a journal. That's what it's kind of for. But it's all, he like showed me a passage. It was like, dear Lisa, when I wrote you that breakup letter, did it hurt? Did it make you feel? Do you still think of me now? What are you doing? I wonder if we'll ever come back together. It's like written by like a 14-year-old. So bad to read someone else. Would you guys do that? Would you, what would you do? Would you, if your friend, not your friend, if your roommate left their journal out in public, and by public I mean the living room, right there in front of you, would you read it? It'd be too hard to resist, wouldn't it? Who could resist that? How much self-control do you have to not read someone else's journal? You ever find a journal on like the street or something? Dude. I'll read the whole thing front to back. Whole thing front to back. And what's funny about that guy's journal? It's way worse than Anne Frank's. Anne Frank, I haven't read, I think I read it in like grade school. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive diary. Do you think the publishers punched it up though? You think maybe they spiced up the language? I don't know. I wonder if it got improved a bit. Because you think about what like a 13 or 12 year old would write like, and it'd be so bad. Be so bad. I guess one thing that was omitted from the journal is the sex scenes in it. I guess Anne Frank, as a young teenage girl, had some, not sex scenes, but had like some sexual impulses, and they got edited out of the journal. And thank God they did, because boy, would that be a weird turn of events in the Diary of Anne Frank if suddenly you're just reading about how she flicked her bean. I'll tell you, I don't think she wrote that thing thinking this is going to be used later as a historical document, which it is now. What if that's all she really wrote about? They're like, we found this diary from this Jewish girl. She was put in an attic while she was hiding from the Nazis. Unfortunately, it was all just beaten off stories. That's how you know it was a girl's diary. That's how you know it was by Diary of Anne Frank and not Albert Frank. Is because if it was Albert Frank, it would just be him cranking his dick all the time. Oh. You know what? That's it for me. I really appreciate you guys listening to this. Thank you so much for tuning in every single week. Let me know what you like, what you dislike. Write me an email, tweet at me, like, share, subscribe, write me a review. Me. Thank you so much for listening. I am very indulgent. Bye.